Hey guys, welcome to Fat Mascara.
You're Jess. I'm Jen.
What's up?
Hi everyone.
I'm trying to psych myself up because I feel a lot of different feelings right now. It is my last recording for, I'm going to say sometime. It's like TBD. I don't know what it's like to have a baby.
Oh, yeah. If you're a new listener, because we have a bunch of new listeners, Jessica Matlin, my co-host, is about to have a baby girl.
Exactly. I'm due in 1 week, and I feel like she needs to come out now.
So we have a recording session, a marathon, and don't you guys worry. We banked up a bunch of really great interviews, and I'm going to have some very cool co-hosts, none as great as you, Jess, to keep us going.
Yeah, I'm going to be home jealous listening with the baby.
We're still going to have new episodes every Wednesday, just like always. But listen to this one extra specially and closely because it's Jess's last for a while.
Oh, well, Jen was nice. She brought some snacks. We've got some bevies. And I saw the list. I saw the roster of some of the co-hosts coming up. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it.
Oh, good.
Even though I'm going to feel left out.
Listen, we can have you call in.
Yeah,
you
fine.
Know what? Maybe enjoy. You want to pop around the corner, come back in the studio. It'll be fine. You'll bring little baby girl TK, whatever you name her. And
so
I will
cute.
Report on that when that will be the beauty news headline of the week in probably next week, if not the week after. Fingers crossed.
Yes, I'm going to want some advice.
But for this week, we have, of course, This Week in Beauty News. And then we're also going to talk about a new hair bonding treatment, which is great if you are trying to go really blonde or if you have damaged hair. I have something innovative to tell you guys about. And then a little bit of like a health and wellness topic.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica and I found out we both have neuromas in
this
our feet.
This is so crazy.
And I don't know how we didn't know this before.
Because I knew you had stuff like going on with your feet and I've had like stuff going on with my feet.
But we've never compared notes.
No, it's like now it's like reached a fever pitch.
It's Jen and Jess's Petty Corner. Who's our guest?
Our guest is, I'm calling her the internet skincare guru. Caroline Hirons. And I just found out you say it Hirons. I was calling her Hirons for too long.
So was I was making it French. You guys have been asking for this interview for, I want to say years. We deliver.
Yeah.
She's here and it's great.
In the stewed.
Let's do it.
And now it's time for the Week in Beauty News.
Okay, we have a lot of new lines coming out this week. We have Karamo Brown, the culture guy from Queer Eye. He's starting a brand for bald guys.
I love that.
It's called Mantle. It's cute. Carolina Herrera is launching a beauty line in March, and that's Carolina Herrera New York Makeup. She has not done a color cosmetics line yet, so that's cool. Huda Kattan just launched her skincare line. It reminded me of another skincare line because it's just one product. It's called Wishful, and she's doing an exfoliator.
Mm.
And then
that's kind of random.
I know, but it's sort of like You Beauty from the Bag Snob.
Yeah.
She did like an exfoliating kind of
lotion. That's true.
And then Selena Gomez, about to break that Sephora store. She's doing a Sephora exclusive, launching a cosmetics brand called Rare Beauty. And a lot of the executives on that brand are from NYX, which I thought was interesting. So it'll be curious to see what that is when it comes out this summer. Is it the next Fenty? I don't know.
It's fitting that she's going to have her own line.
I love it. Gucci Westman, she did not launch another line. She already has a line, but she launched a new beauty YouTube chat show. And the first guest is
Demi Moore. And I have to tell you, she looks freaking gorgeous.
I mean, that woman.
Yeah, I watched a lot of it.
The two of them together, I was just like, oh, okay, goals for like.
I know.
Then sad note in the beauty industry, Birchbox had to lay off 25% of their team. It's interesting because I feel like that was a new retail model, the subscription box. And maybe that's not the future anymore.
I know. Is it a death knell? I don't know.
Last but not least, we have a little update on the FDA hearing.
I know you've all been chomping at the bit, Jif or Jen, to interpret this news for you.
So on February 4th, the FDA had held a hearing on asbestos testing in talc, the first since 1971, which I think is hilarious. Toxicologists from the government testified that tiny mineral particles often found in talc, including but not limited to asbestos, can trigger the development of cancer and should be part of new testing standards. Because there aren't any right now. Of course, the EWG.
Safe.
Say, right? The EWG, of course, was right up there saying, yes, let's test. And of course, a rep from cosmetic trade groups countered saying testing isn't needed. So it's a whole bunch of.
I don't know who to believe.
Exactly. And the FDA said, guess what? We'll keep studying. We're working on a paper. So they gave themselves no guideline as to the timing when we'll hear what comes out of this. So your guess is as good as ours.
The choice is yours.
I see no testing happening anytime soon, but that's what happened this week in beauty news.
God, it's a big week.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Jess, I have a new Gen Science Corner.
What's the music for that going to be?
I don't know.
Maybe like lab music, like bubbling.
But God knows if I'll ever do this again, if you stick with me through this. But John Raymond, the guy who cuts my hair.
Oh, it's your friend.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He runs Spoken Wheel Salons, and I was with him, and he was telling me about a new product. And so what it is, I don't know if you know this, but there are disulfide bonds in our hair. And basically, when you get a perm or something happens, that breaks that bond. But also when your hair is damaged with heat, with color, et cetera, that bond can break and you cause damage. So we've heard about Olaplex, right?
Yes, people are crazy about Olaplex.
So what that does, it sort of builds this little bridge repair between the broken bonds so that you can color lighter, go further, prevent the hair from breaking off. But it's really still sort of like a Band-Aid, if you will.
It's like insurance, right?
Yeah, and they'll use it. Your colorist can use it during your treatment. There's products for afterwards as well. And they're called Bond Builders. So that works. But this one I thought was really interesting. It's called K-Hair Pep.
Okay.
So a professor working in Portugal discovered a peptide that can actually penetrate through the hair's surface, which is hard to do, first of all. And it's a long-chain peptide, and it can rebuild the disulfide bond in our hair. So it's not just like a Band-Aid. It's actually sort of reconnecting them. So that peptide, which is called the K18 peptide, of course, he trademarked it, proprietary, blah, blah, blah.
Is K for like keratin?
Yes, because that's where these are. That is in the K-Hair Pep solution. So John gave the treatment to me, and then I had to do it three more times at home. And basically, you can have a spray or cream version of it. After you shampoo, you put it on, rub it in, wait 4 minutes.
Okay.
No conditioner.
Four. Very specific.
I know. Very specific. No conditioner. And then proceed as usual.
Wait, is this product actually available for home use, or is it because like John like was your hookup?
So you can buy it online yourself, but I think most people are going to discover it through their salon and their stylist because the really amazing thing that it does, and the colorists that Spoken Wheel are using it, is they can do those platinum processing without any of the breakage, which is what people are excited about Olaplex.
Yeah.
But a colorist still doesn't want to push it too much. And even if you're using Olaplex, if you're going from like black hair to bleach blonde, you know, and you're double process lightening, you're going to get some breakage. This stuff is amazing. I watched a video of a girl, an Asian girl with black hair, go to platinum, and like her hair, you know how sometimes you get raggedy at the end when you get platinum, it's like thinner?
Yeah.
It was the exact same thickness.
Oh, wow.
It was fascinating. And so I also learned this, I was obsessed with. They discovered that it worked because they were using it to repair tapestries and like carpet fibers.
So it came from another industry?
Yeah. So like, I mean, that's wool, that's hair of an animal, right?
It's a fiber. It's a natural fiber.
So think about if you're trying to repair like an art, you know, in the art history museum and they're trying to repair that fancy tapestry. This helps rebind the damage in the hairs.
That's
more
so
or less,
clever.
Which is actually not hair.
So is this just another option to Olaplex, or like is your stylist preferring one over the other right now?
I can't speak to if they like it better than Olaplex. Yeah. All I can say is that it works in a very different way. And I feel like as they more get into America, because right now, you know, it started in Europe,
yeah,
we're going to start seeing more and more colorists like get excited about this. Mm-hmm. So me, as someone who does not bleach her hair, the benefits that I saw were my hair was a lot thicker looking.
Okay.
Like, I don't know why that is, because I must have some damage. The other thing is sometimes when I'm detangling, and this treatment, by the way, does not coat your hair. So it's actually quite annoying to detangle after you put it in. You have to be real gentle. But usually after I brush my hair, like I still see all the little broken pieces.
Yeah,
like if
I
do it over the tub.
Oh yeah. When I brush my hair over the sink, there's like little.
And I'm not
fragments.
A yanker. Like I'm in there and I did this for the 3 treatments in a row. And it's like, truly, it's long hairs that are falling out. I'm not seeing any broken hairs anymore
okay.
on my brush. So, I mean, it's not cheap. It's $75 if you buy it by yourself. But I think the people that will be most excited are our friends with bleached blonde hair. This is big news, this peptide. So, there. You heard it here on Fat Mascara. Probably not first, but close to
no,
first.
No, I'm sure it's first.
There you go. Jess, I cannot believe you have a Neuroma and we have not talked about this.
I've got two. You want to talk about both of them?
I have two too, but I have two in one foot.
Oh, I have one in each.
Which
so
is very rare. Very rare,
oh,
two in one foot.
Of course, only
okay.
I get that.
Tell me how this happened. Tell our listeners what a Neuroma
I'll
is.
I'll give you, I mean, this is like the...
Let's talk about our aching dogs.
This is, I know. So... I had like, Jen and I do know this about each other, that we both had bunionectomies. We're like the only people like, you know.
Correct.
Who had them like in our 20s. I was in my 20s.
I got reasoning from my doctor as to why I got that and the neuroma is associated with
okay.
it. Go on.
So I got a bunionectomy on my left foot. We can talk about that another time. But
please,
can we
talk about your bunion?
It's very sexy. but every so often I'd feel kind of like this. I described it as like almost an electric, fuzzy, tingly feeling in that foot. And I was
a nerve pain.
Nerve pain. But I never, you know, lucky I didn't know what that was. And it depended on the pair of shoes I wore.
Or how you land on your foot if you like went down a step.
Yeah. So it wasn't something that was interrupting my life or like would like make me like take a cab instead of walk. Actually, no, sometimes like, yeah, if I was wearing like really flat, hard shoes, you know how sometimes flats can like,
uh-huh,
they can be a killer
too. The more
too.
Your foot flexes, the more these guys flare up.
Yeah.
Go on.
And then, yeah. And like, especially if the bottom's quite
hard. I'll tell you this, Doc Martens work for that, but go
That's
on.
Funny. Okay. Mm-hmm. So. Long story longer, I get pregnant, okay?
And so that was 9 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. And the one on my left foot has been flaring up, but there's now one on my right foot, which is so much more painful. And I'll describe the pain. First, I was like fuzzy, weird.
Because people, this is helpful. Like you might have, mine came like a pebble. It feels like you were stepping on a pebble again and again, which is another telltale sign.
I read that on the internet. Mine really feels electric, sharp. Like, this is what I said to the podiatrist. It feels like my toes as I'm walking are going to break off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as if
yep.
they're, as if they were made of glass.
But it's sudden. And then the minute you stop taking that movement, it goes away, right?
Yes. If I sat on the couch,
mm-hmm.
it goes away. And so anyway, I go to the podiatrist and I put my little feet up and I'm telling him this. And I feel like I'm not being clear because I'm saying
oh,
all
no.
this crap
he knew
that I'm
right
saying
away.
To you. He's able to tell I have this nerve thing. Because he pinches my little fat feet. They're very fat and wide right now. They always were, but now they're like.
And he wiggled back and forth.
He wiggled back and forth.
And it clicks. And he
goes, yes!
Girl,
Jen!
I know!
Were you there?
I was not there, but I remember having the same experience, like trying to describe the symptoms, and she's just nodding. She
and you
exactly
feel crazy. Like, you
yeah.
feel crazy.
I was like, I feel like there's a pebble in my shoe, but there's not. And then sometimes there's a little lightning. I didn't know how to describe it.
Yeah. Lightning! That's a great,
that
sharp lightning!
Like, very descriptive.
Yes. You should write.
So, that was 10 years ago, girl.
So, what the hell? Is this why you wear, I mean, not that you don't have a cool style, but, like, is this why you wear, like, sneakers and
They've
dogs
gotten
a lot
worse. So, basically what this is scar tissue built around the nerves that are between the metatarsals of your foot.
Okay.
So you have like where every toe is between them. So you probably have one between like second and third or third and fourth metatarsals,
yeah.
really common. And sometimes you can even tell by just like wiggling your foot.
Whoa.
And you hear it click and you feel it click. I have two in one foot. Lucky me, which I just
So
said.
You have the between index and middle.
Second
and
third and third and fourth. And I only
right.
know that because it's been hurting so badly.
Which
they
foot?
Said,
left foot or right foot?
Left foot. That I went to get an MRI. They see them in there when you do an MRI. Sometimes they can see them from ultrasound. And so I got special orthotics made years ago with like this little riser in them.
Did insurance cover it?
It did then. Okay. And it's right behind where the neuroma is so that my foot doesn't flex that same way.
Yes.
And they were really helpful for a couple years.
Question for you. As we all wear the many different shoes, like I had orthotics once and I only put them in like one pair of sneakers I never wore.
No, I wear these all the time and I have two pairs, one for my sneakers when I'm running and one for regular shoes. Fact check me on the insurance, though, because I feel like I might have spent a couple $100 on them.
Okay.
Because they were totally worth it.
Orthotics are very expensive, and that's why a lot of people go like Dr. Scholl's first, and then
Dr. Scholl's not going to cut it because you have to get it in the right spot right where the neuroma is, so it's very custom. Yeah.
I'm actually like flexing my foot now, and I feel like the electricity in my left.
It's actually really a weird feeling. Yeah.
It's really crazy.
It can come and go. But I found that really flat, hard shoes that don't let you flex as much, you don't have the problem. So a Doc Martin, or frankly, when I'm hiking, like my hiking boots, I can't feel it at all.
But you say flat, hard shoes. Like I'm wearing flat, hard, like ballet flats. Those hurt like a bitch.
Because you can flex and there's no support.
So you need something that has support.
With a thick sole, yeah.
So, okay, you said Docs, sneakers. You wear like Air Force
Ones?
No,
not sneakers. Lets you flex too much.
Oh, the doctor told me that I should get a great pair of sneakers.
I mean, if you want to get those like New Balances that like are real thick on the bottom, but like a Chuck Taylor is the most uncomfortable thing for me
bad.
To wear. Yeah.
But when I wear like my Adidas Stan Smith, they don't hurt as much.
Really? Because you need, I would think even more up on the bottom.
So should I get like those chunky like Dino Stompers?
Remember you used to make fun of the fashion girls and their big ass Balenciaga sneakers?
Yes.
They'd probably be really good for your neuroma. And then I'll just give a little bit more advice for maybe you down the line and then everybody else.
Help.
Cortisone shots helped me too. They would inject those into the neuroma and I'd get like 4 or 5 months of relief out of that. And some people also do alcohol shots. It's like a new treatment for it. Mm. And then eventually, you know, if you're wearing the right shoes and doing all that, they like get bigger and bigger over time and you need to have them removed with an outpatient surgery.
But that, you know what freaks me out? I feel like, and I have no proof. I have no proof of this, but I feel like this shit started when I had a bunionectomy. So I'm afraid to get surgery again.
No, it is people that are have hyperflexible feet. She said, did you have bunions when you were young? And she's like, that's because you're hyperflexible and your metatarsals move around so much. And because your foot movement is so much more than a normal person's, that can help irritate this nerve ending and cause the neuroma. Not that the bunionectomy did the neuroma. You just have a flexible foot that's prone to these things.
So do you ever feel...
That's according to my Dr. Prevetti, my foot and ankle surgeon.
It makes sense to me. I always feel like my feet, maybe it's the way my feet are shaped and I need to like be wearing shoes more. But if I'm walking barefoot, I feel like my little toes like grip the floor like I'm some kind of animal.
I can't even walk barefoot because it hurts. I wear shoes around the house because
Do you really?
Yeah, because barefoot's the most painful of all.
I agree. Slippers? Do you wear slippers or like you put on the
shoes?
No,
it's like nothing. And then when I wear flip-flops because my little grippy toes and it's really painful. So I wear like a solid shoe. I have house Birkenstocks.
You do?
You know that. And you asked me, you thought it was just my slippers? It's because of the neuroma, because a regular house slipper doesn't cut it.
I have
Welcome
new empathy for
you. Welcome to the world of neuroma.
Guys, if you have an aroma, I want to see some fashionable footwear.
I named mine.
What is her name?
Romy.
Romy.
Romy the neuroma. Please DM me with your neuroma tales.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence.
Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
Our guest today, Caroline Hirons. She is a British skincare expert. She's also a mother of four. She's a trained esthetician, and she's worked in beauty retail and has a brand consultant for more than 3 decades, people. Also, we love that she's a passionate music lover like us and a supporter of some amazing charities, including Refuge, Women's Aid, and the Eve Appeal. Caroline's much-anticipated book, Skincare, the Ultimate Guide, is coming out in April, and it's available for pre-order now. Check out our website. So, Caroline.
Yes.
Before you were the internet skin guru, and I've just given you that title.
Okay.
You were an esthetician. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, you still, like, no one took those credentials away from you, but no, you were an esthetician. So can you just tell us and our listeners a little bit about your life before YouTube and Instagram and all of that?
Well, I worked in the beauty industry since, like, 97. And I just had a passion for skincare that was much stronger than makeup. And, you know, so I went and got my qualifications. Knew that skin was my sort of forte. What very fortuitously happened was I was working in Space NK and Sylvie Shontekai came in one night.
Ah.
And basically had offered me a job within like 20 minutes.
What did you do that impressed her?
Told her that she didn't have any system and everything needed. She had on stock and they didn't have any testers.
Sounds on brand for you.
Yeah. But in a very polite way. And I'd given my notice in that day I was going to go and work for Clarins. So the universe was just lining everything up.
Can I ask you, you mentioned that you were more passionate about skincare than makeup. I think that a lot of people who are really into your channels and everything feel the same. Why are you more passionate about skincare?
Yeah, it was just the mental health aspect of having healthy skin. They go hand in hand. And, you know, when you fix someone's skin who's had real problems, whether it's on the rosacea spectrum or the acne spectrum, or even just advise them, even if they're not coming to me for treatment, which I don't do now, but even if I said, okay, you need this derm and you need this cream, but they'll advise you better than me, da 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 da. And then, you know, a few months later, you get great messages saying, thank you so much for your recommendation. Just the, you know, the lift that that person gets is the best part of the job.
So you also have a new book coming out and on top of everything else you do. It's just called Skincare, the Ultimate Guide. Why did you decide to do a book now?
I'd always said, I don't need to do a book. It's there on the blog for everyone to see.
Yeah.
But then it was actually my readers who would say, and the freaks group on Facebook who would say, but my mum's not on Facebook. But my mum's not on the blog.
Yeah.
My friend doesn't know how to read blogs. She just looks at magazines and the advice isn't really up to date. So
eventually it was my readers who would say, but if you do one, then I can have this at home and I can buy one for my mum. And I thought, okay. And also, you know, ultimately a lot of things I end up doing so my mum is happy.
So I hope you don't mind. We have questions for you, but we also have some listener questions.
Of course.
So first off, this is a conversation that comes up all the time on our show. Jess and I talk about quote unquote clean beauty. And I love...
She's already laughing.
I love that your Instagram bio says, everything is a chemical. Stop the nonsense. But lots of our... Isn't that amazing? I'm just like done and done.
I want a t-shirt. Like, do you have that on merch?
You
need that on merch.
But lots of our listeners do want to know what's going on with the clean beauty movement. I'm sure you're going to agree with me. There's no definition for clean beauty. Where do you think this whole want for clean beauty comes from?
Fear-mongering.
By who? Who's doing
brands and retailers.
And so do you yourself have any, quote, no-no ingredients?
Not really.
So nothing's off limits for you?
No, I'm not a fan of mineral oil.
Okay.
Just because it's sort of cheap and we're in a very weird situation now where, especially because as the U.S. tend to shout louder.
Mm-hmm. Whereas really?
Funny that. But the European, I'm allowed, by the way, in case anyone takes offense, my mother's American, I can say whatever I want. Don't shoot me.
You can say whatever you want regardless. No. We like it.
We're in this weird situation, especially on social media, where there is dermatologists getting higher profiles. There's cosmetic scientists getting higher profiles. Then you have all the clean and green people. And then you have estheticians. And the difference is estheticians put their hands on more people than anyone. So I say to, you know, there are like over 3,000 skin diseases. I'm not a dermatologist, but I promise you, if you put me in a room and put me head to head about product, I'll take them all on at the same time. Mm-hmm. I know more about product than any of them. So for me, it's looking at a skin and going, well, show me your makeup bag. You know, show me your beauty bag. What have you got? Oh, don't use that. It's too drying. That's going to be too silicone for you. You need this first. Then you need an acid. Then you need this. So for me, we're in this strange space where, as I've said a lot of times on videos in the UK, the tail is wagging the dog. The dog being the industry and the tail being the customer.
Yes.
And this whole fear-mongering thing that's come, it has primarily come from the East Coast, the West Coast in America, sorry. Mm-hmm. California has a lot to answer for.
Really? Yeah.
So, I mean, that's our interpretation in the UK.
Okay.
Because when we see it, they're always in LA.
And what about like the Environmental Working Group when they put out a press release that they are like not happy with this ingredient because it needs more testing? Do you ever find there to be truth behind some of that?
No, I cannot stand them. Okay. They make my blood boil.
Because they're, again, part of the fear-mongering machine you were talking
about?
They're
like the very foundation of it.
Do you think people, you know, a lot of brands will cite the EWG like in their...
Idiots.
You know, in their press.
Idiots.
Do you think that it's out of naivete or do you think that
No, they're
very...
jumping on a bandwagon. They want to be clean. Mm-hmm. They're not naive. These people have money. They want to make money. They know it's marketing. I was in LA when the episode of the Kardashians was on because it's the law. When you're in LA, you have to put the Kardashians on because it's like wallpaper.
It's
24/7. And it was when Kourtney had been approached by the EWG. And this woman said to her, you know, I can tell you now for definite that there is lead in your lipstick. And I nearly punched the TV.
Do you think that they're outright lying with a lot of this stuff?
Yes.
Or do you think they're interpreting
No,
things?
They're outright lying. They've only recently gone not for profit. They never started that way.
I always wanted to try and find out what was behind
really?
It.
Really?
They never started as a not for profit. They were always, and they do not have a toxicologist on staff. And if they do, it's a very recent acquisition because we've all been bitching about it. So they go on and on about the word toxic. But they don't hire anyone who actually knows what they are.
That word scares me, the word toxic, because when people say, I know a lot of brands use non-toxic beauty, but it's like, well, what's the alternative? What are the toxic things? And isn't everything toxic at some level?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the toxicity is dose dependent. That's another t-shirt. Toxicity is dose dependent.
I want that one too.
Water is the, you know, the manner of life. We all need water. But if you have too much water, you can end up in hospital. It drives me to distraction. And I will actively, someone asked me to review, I want to say, is it Verst?
Yeah.
New brand Verst. Oh, can you see, what do you think of this? It's in Target. And I opened up the website because I always go and look. I'm always like, you know, what do you want me to see when I'm in the States? And the first three sentences, I thought, I just got rage. Like, educate your client, educate your customer. Don't fearmonger people into buying something because I lose all respect.
You're not a fan of Goop, I'm guessing.
Not particularly, no.
Have you seen the Goop Lab?
I have. I managed to watch half of one episode and I found myself laughing so much. And I've had four children. That's not a safe place
to be. It's your new favorite sitcom.
I cannot. And I was on Instagram stories in hysterics and I had to turn it off because I thought it's just going to look like I'm bashing it and they're an easy target.
Yeah.
And also I'd rather give my, you know, that's out there that's nonsense. But like you said, every other brand is doing it now.
This was a question from Megan, one of our followers. What are some of the myths that just keep coming up about skincare that every time you see it and you're like, how many more times do I have to tell you this isn't
the case. Pores. Everyone's still obsessed with their pores.
Their paws?
Paws. Paws.
Oh, pores.
I was like, pores. Like a kitty cat paws.
Their paws. No, their paws.
Oh, what, the fact that we can't close and open them, you mean?
Yes, yes. Paws is relentless. To be honest, they're all still so much out there that it's innumerable. But But when it becomes an educational piece, I don't mind how many times I'm asked a question on social media. Mm. There's always going to be someone new. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say the same thing with my team. You know, no question is too stupid. No question can be asked too many times. Because obviously I'd spent most of my career in training as well. So you kind of get that side of,
oh, right.
Of you course. have to be able to sort of say, talk to people in a way that they want to be receptive to what you have to say.
How do you know when you think a product is working? Because when Jen and I, like, we get so many products as editors, I'm sure you get the mm-hmm. exact same amount, you know, it's hard to isolate sometimes, like, okay, I love this product. I love the texture. I love the smell of the packaging, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. The, you know, ingredient list looks legit. But for all testing so many things, how do you personally vet something as like a Caroline fave?
Inky list. Mm-hmm. Look at the formula. Look mm-hmm. at where things sit in the formula. Texture, how well it absorbs. How well it goes on my skin for sort of a week or so. And then I can generally tell. A lot of the time you've got to put your faith in a good brand, which is why I don't tend to test a lot of like new green brands I would be scared to try because they won't use parabens. So I'm pretty sure their product, you know, I did say the green thing was meant to be the movement, not the color of your product because you stopped using parabens. So I think if you try, I tend to trust a brand and then I'll look at the products mm-hmm. and brands make missteps. You know, you kind of look and you go, oh God, I wouldn't have done that, but it's not my business or whatever. Mm-hmm. But generally formula is king. So if I look at a brand and I know what testing they've done and I know what ingredients they're using and at what percentages, which you can kind of gauge if you're looking at an ingredients list, that's kind of how I do it really. And then it depends on whether it's fun to use, texture, or if it's sticky or, you know, anything like that.
When you say testing done, are you talking about like clinical testing? Like what kind of
clinical testing or clinical trials? I mean, I don't need that for basics, but if someone is going to tell me that it's going to change the structure of my skin, then you would want to see some testing.
Got it. Know? And where do you see yourself? This is a question from our lovely listener, Laura. She goes, where do you see yourself in relation to the wild west of beauty influencers?
I think I kind of stand very much alone mm-hmm. because I'm older. I don't go on all these ridiculous trips.
Do they invite you?
Oh, no.
They're probably terrified.
Well, they know I'm not going to get in a bikini for them, no matter how much they want to throw at me. So I get invited to nicer things. Like I get invited as an individual on my own to labs privately, which is much more preferable to me. Mm-hmm. I don't have to, you know, I'm not going to sign a piece of paper that says, yes, if you fly me in business to Jamaica, I'll put 10 Instagram posts up on my grid over the next 4 days. Oh, who's got time for that? I'm a businesswoman. I'm not an influencer, but I have influence. Mm-hmm. So I kind of think I separated myself from the very beginning by being at least 10 years older than all of them, probably 15 years older than most of them. I'm 50. Mm-hmm. You know, most of these girls are in their 20s. I've been in the industry since they were born. Mm-hmm. So I don't do it dismissively. I do it with the confidence of age.
Right.
So I do dismiss them in that way, but I'm not dismissive. You know, a lot of them are friends of mine. They ask me for advice. They say, we've just got this product, blah, blah, blah. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And I'll say, not with your skin, babe. And then they go, lol, thanks. I thought I was going a bit red.
Story of my life.
you do have that reputation for being very no-nonsense, being very honest. And I think a lot of, you know, other people are afraid to be like that in beauty.
Which is a shame.
It is a shame. And I want to ask you about that. Like, for example, this is a few years ago, old example, but like when Glossier came out with their solution, mm-hmm. you critiqued it fairly. Like you gave your opinion. You weren't, you know, unfair.
It was their reaction to it that made it go viral. How funny is that? That's still my most read post.
Really? Yeah. So why don't you recap it for our listeners who may not know what we're talking about?
The solution came out, which mm-hmm. is obviously their acid. I coined the term acid toning. That's me. So when it came out, I thought, oh, amazing. Glossier have done an acid. And I looked at the inky and I thought, that's a lot of acids in the sort of, for a brand that is traditionally aimed their demographic to be quite young, mm-hmm. I felt that the inky list was aggressive before I even started it. Mm-hmm. So then I used it and it stung my face and I took pictures because I had sort of, now it's more like a hive reaction, but it felt like a burn around my nose. And I thought, right, I'm just going to take pictures. I'll see if it calms down. I'll try it again. And I found I could only really use it like across the top of my forehead, you know, like areas where your skin just goes, I'll do what you want.
The rough and tough areas.
Yeah, like the soles of your feet, you know. And so I put the post up.
It's a great foot exfoliator.
I put the post up. At the bottom of it, I put, you know, these are some alternatives. And I did Glow Tonic, Paula's Choice, and P50, which is the original acid toner that everyone rips off, right? Well, within 12 hours, they had this esthetician who's since become, we follow each other on Instagram, we're cool, and one of their young employees. And they were critiquing the three brands that I had compared them to without mentioning my name or blog. But I knew what it was. It was a direct message to my blog post. So I just, did another blog post the next day and said, oh, Glossier, I think it's still called, oh, Glossier. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So they went after P50,
Was this a private message?
It was on their stories.
Oh, Lord, okay.
There was like 15 Instagram stories slagging off P50, Paula's Choice.
Oh, I'm sure they couldn't
have been happy about that. And Pixi Glow Tonic, right? So, and I just said in my stories, I don't know what, in the blog, I don't know what you're doing, but I'll tell you one thing, you've got a pair of kahunas on you if you're going to go after Paula Burgoyne, because she does not play mild.
Listen to our episode with her and you will learn.
She will come for you and come hard. And the next day, Paula's Choice Instagram was like still one of my funniest things ever. It was almost like a doctor, the sort of gifts of the doctor in the lab coat, sort of dropping things in a dust trash can and saying, some people put all of their formulas in one. We have 22 individual acids. And I just thought, oh my God, they're going for it.
Wow.
And that's still my most used blog post, most seen blog post.
I know that you're like, okay, I'm just being honest. You're just doing your job. But it's never fun to have conflict. It's never fun to get an email or, you know, like, I don't get the sense that you thrive on it.
No,
or
you're
trying
at all.
To be controversial.
Oh, I can be so much more controversial. I could talk about the cease and desists I've received. I could talk about lawyers' letters I've had. But I could be so much more controversial. But what I will do is if I believe I've gone in fair and then I get attacked, I think, what are you hiding? What buttons have I pressed
of
yours?
Funny, like it is a very like, you know, sensitive time in the culture right now where a lot of people like can't take a punch. Mm. But at the same time, it's like, you know, art, music, you know, celebrity, like there is critique of all of these things. But for some reason, like if Jen and I were to get on the mics and be like this brand, you know, take shots at a big brand, I can tell you we wouldn't have a great night's sleep that night.
Do you know why? Because we're women. Gaming vloggers make their fortune from critiquing games.
That's really interesting.
Gaming
and
vloggers.
And then Nintendo or whoever.
And Nintendo will change things, you know.
Or change things.
Yeah.
I was thinking like restaurants, like they get taken down.
Yeah. And then they fix it.
And it's because the beauty industry is still predominantly run by middle-aged white men. I'm sorry, but it is.
And they think, you don't know what you're talking about.
You're a woman. That's number one.
Yeah.
You're younger than me, and I'm not. Half the time, I'm older than some of them. And I'm like, so you worked in finance. Great, I'm really excited. I've been putting my hands on people's faces for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Come at me, bro. You know, but it's because we're women. It's a women-led industry. And it's the only industry on earth where there are middle-aged white men at the top, but most of the workers are female.
Have you ever seen a brand respond positively to something and fix something because of
loads
your...
Loads of times.
Good question.
Yeah. Loads of times. Yeah, so I did a video about Nice Juice, shame about the packaging. Which was basically, I love this pot, whatever it is, but I like Kerastase. The Kerastase pots of conditioner drive me to distraction because you have to open the lid and then put your hand in it in the shower. Now, where do I put the cream and the lid and the pot?
Yeah.
Why isn't it in a tube?
And it's filling up with water and it was
$75. And I've got to move over here and it cost me a kidney. So, and then the Estee Lauder Advanced Night Repair, the eye cream that's with the stick, the plastic stick.
Yeah. Oh,
the
dropper?
I thought it had broken. No, it's not a dropper. It's a plastic stick.
I always thought it was supposed to be a dropper and I had like a lab sample that was just
That's what I thought. I opened it and I thought, oh, the end's broken off. Like how am I? I thought it was going to have a lip gloss end. No, it's a plastic dropper. And I said, this was obviously made by a man in tech. Because no woman would comfortably rub this around their eye.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a plastic
stick. Did they change the...
No, but they got the message loud and clear. I received notice that I had been heard.
So it's not falling on deaf ears completely.
No,
but it's a very good point.
You know, obviously there will be brands who think we're untouchable, and that's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not your customer, but I am giving you feedback and I do know what I'm talking about. So, but it's up to them. I'm not going to shout at them. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. We have a question from Monique, one of our listeners. She wanted to know, and this, I want to know this too. When is it good to go to an esthetician versus a dermatologist?
If you have had persistent acne since you were a teenager, you should be in front of a dermatologist. If you have rosacea, if your skin's burning, if you have rashes, go straight to a doctor. In the UK, we'd go to a doctor, and here you could go to a derm. If you are just, though, looking at your skin and going, this could be a bit better, my tone and elasticity feels a bit, I feel like I've gone a bit saggy, I've got pigmentation, my skin looks dull, anything that isn't a medical emergency. Like if you had the same rash on your butt, would you go to a doctor?
Okay, that's a good way to think about it.
You know, it's almost like the dermatologist is there to sort of diagnose a skin condition or a skin disease, God forbid. And we're there more to support the life of your skin throughout your lifetime.
Okay, we've got another question from Emily. What order do you apply skincare products?
Cleanser.
Okay.
Acid, if you're using it. I don't use acid any day, every day anymore, but I, you know, at least once a day, every other day type thing. Then a mist. I like a mist because I'm older and I'm very dehydrated. So where you would traditionally use an essence, maybe in an Eastern routine, not New York Eastern, as in Far East.
Yes, yes.
And then it's eye cream, serum. And then if you want to do moisturizer or oil, it always depends for me on where you are with makeup. So I do oil underneath moisturizer because then my foundation sits better. If I'm going to bed, I'll just put oil. It depends. I prefer leaving moisturizer on top, personally.
And we always say, we've told our listeners and readers,
oil on top.
Because if they're not a humectant, it's the kind of oil, so it depends on the oil, obviously, but it's just like a sealant, an occlusive.
Yeah.
So we thought after
final
moisturizer.
Step.
All of this, though, bear in mind, this is why when I see these things and they're so definitive, like in Cosmo, and I just think, you can't say that definitively.
Because you don't know which.
Because you don't know what the product is. Mm-hmm. So it could be that you're using like a squalane oil that's really actually quite light. And something that's called a serum, like Vintner's Daughter is an oil.
Yes.
But it's called a serum.
Right.
You know? So it all, formula is king. And as everyone keeps trying to get me to say queen, formula is queen. Like you cannot stress it enough. I prefer a moisturizer on top because I want my skin to constantly be attracting moisture. I will leave
my
skin.
Which is a humectant.
Which is a humectant, yes. Because I invariably use a hyaluronic acid at some point in my routine. There'll be hyaluronic acid in any moisturizer. So... But and also it's more comfortable for an older woman to have a skin that is freshly sort of prepped. Mm-hmm. And then you go and you put your foundation on top afterwards or anything like that. So what drives me to distraction, my only complaint that I do step in and I always get tagged in it is when people say you put your eye cream on last. That drives me like I want to headbutt the wall.
Okay. Now we know.
Not to be dramatic.
I'm glad you brought up hyaluronic acid because we just got a lot of questions about that. There's a lot of talk about, is it really the holy grail of moisturization? Is it not all it's cracked up to be? Some estheticians believe you can develop a sensitivity to it. What's your take on HA?
I don't think you develop a sensitivity to it. I think it depends on the pH of the formula. So when I'm retinoiding, as I would say, when I'm using a vitamin A and I'm flaking, there are certain hyaluronic acids I can't use because they sting my skin because the pH is low.
This isn't the quote-unquote molecular weight of the hyaluronic acid?
Not really, no. It's more about the pH of the formula. So molecular weight...
you know, all now they're like, we have multiple molecular weights of hyaluronic acid.
Which is good. You do need a multi-weighted one because you want a smaller one to penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
You want a medium one to kind of help everything else penetrate. And then you want the canopy. The canopy is, when people say, oh, it's only got one form of hyaluronic acid, that's still going to do you a good job. Because it goes on the skin and it acts like a canopy, like a circus tent,
mm-hmm.
and everything else can then go underneath.
But have you ever changed your tune on a certain ingredient that you said, that's not good, and now I think it is, or the other way around?
I'm less offended by mineral oil than I used to be.
Okay.
I mean, I was completely anti. But again, this is because formulas change. And now, instead of just having like a big... The reason I don't like mineral oil is because it is not nice to massage with. Mm. You get much better massage... with a natural plant-based oil.
So there's nothing deep and like if you use mineral oil...
No, because it's not designed to penetrate, you know. But mineral oil, you know, I've always said that mineral oil can be very good in an occlusive product for people who have like redness or rosacea. And it's a product that a lot of people are not sensitive to. So you'll always find it like Aven is full of mineral oil. But it's great for people with sensitive skin. So I'm less argumentative about that because in certain skin types and conditions, it can be great.
You want that barrier.
You want that barrier. But and I'll tell you the other reason this comes up more is because in European facials we massage. In the USA you like machines.
Not this one over here.
No, I like
she loves
massage.
A lymphatic. Touch
me. I'm talking about estheticians.
I see.
So here mostly, and there are exceptions like Nerida Joy, Jordan Samuel, Renee Rouleau, they're all hands on and don't do a lot of machinery.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, there are others that are much more high tech.
They want the radio frequency.
Yeah, like Kate Somerville and Joanna Varga. So I have plenty of time for both, but I always want massage. I'm with you.
What do you think when you're talking about how in the US it's going more towards like the high tech stuff? What do you think we're missing by not leaning into the, like, you know, delicious massages and lymphatic drainage.
Oh, the connection with your client.
Besides that, though, is there anything like, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not wonderful. Like,
I just think you can't, unless you do a good thorough massage, you don't get a feeling of where your client's skin is at. That's just for me personally.
So, okay, Marcy, one of our listeners, wants to get kind of deep. She says that one of the reasons people respond to you is because you're not like this 22-year-old, like, you know, la-di-da influencer. But you talk about anti-aging a lot. But we also are working in like a world that is quite ageist, especially in beauty.
Yeah.
Have you felt that at all from your listeners or your...
No, not from listeners. I've mainly felt it from, well, brands that would just never think of sending me a certain product, which is absolutely fine. I probably don't want it, you know? It's more used by the younger influencers who try and dismiss me.
And as a woman who's 50, do you ever feel offended when people call things anti-aging?
I don't use the term anti-aging. I don't use the term in the book.
And what do you say?
I have a paragraph saying, look, you will see this word used, but it's used because this is what the industry calls it. And until we find a better term, but I'm pro-aging. You know, I'm in my very, very first YouTube video, I was a guest of Sam and Nick Chapman. I said, aging is a privilege that not everyone gets. And I've never understood this. I'm not anti-aging at all. But I think it's the aging question is more, I'm more dismissed by people who don't agree with me. Oh, she's old. No, I would say I'm experienced, but you do you, boo, you know. And also, I've got that kind of calm confidence that comes with being like a mother of four who's 50. I don't really give a shit if, you know, Tess, who's currently jumping off on a rock in Bora Bora, says that I'm shit or whatever. I just, you know, but I don't get that much of it because in the UK, I'm more seen as like the mother hen, you know. So I have a really good relationship with most of the bloggers in the UK.
Okay, and we normally ask with what's in your bag, but one of our listeners, Ashley, she wanted to know your Hall of Fame products for the biggie categories.
I mean, she could go on your blog, but give us a couple of the best.
Yeah, so hit us with like a cleanser. What's one of your faves?
Hit us with your best.
Emma Hardy Moringa Bone Cleanser was the first cleanser. I thought, God, this is amazing. My Pixie Double Cleanse is kind of an easy one to say just because, you know, I didn't make that product to be like a Rolls Royce of cleansing. It's a good basic and it gets people into the brain of thinking, oh, I take this off with an oil and then I go in with something a bit creamier. Acids, P50, obviously. There are so many. Eye cream, Kate Somerville Line Release is amazing.
What about mascara?
Always like Clinique or Estee Lauder. They make great mascaras that are drastically underestimated.
What about just your like plain old moisturizer?
Depends on your budget. You know, anything that's...
Give us a cheap one and a high-end one.
A cheap one would be Neutrogena Hydro Boost. A really nice moisturizer. But it won't work if you're using a primer that's made of silicone. Kate Somerville Deep Tissue Repair, which is called Peptide Kate now, they had to change the name, is like probably one of my holy grail products.
We got a low and a high. And now we have fun at the very end. So we do this at the end with everybody. We've got five questions we ask everybody. So the first beauty product that you remember falling in love with when you were wee little Caroline?
Darphan Purifying Balm.
Whoa. Out of the gate, you're using the good stuff. And now what do you do to chill out? Like, what's your relaxation thing?
Put SVU on.
Okay.
Clean my kitchen.
Special victims unit.
Yeah. Clean my kitchen.
Favorite ice cream?
I ate a lot of Haagen-Dazs pralines and cream when I was pregnant.
Oh. Song that pumps you up?
Never Too Much, Luther Vandross.
And then we always raise a wand, a mascara wand, to our favorite products at the end of the show. But what are you raising a wand to right now? It does not have to be a beauty product, but just something that you're obsessed with currently.
Schitt's Creek.
Who did it? Just recently someone else said Dan Levy.
Dan Levy, yeah.
Oh, that show's a delight.
Yeah, so funny. Schitt's Creek, I am obsessed with. Ew, David. Like, constantly. I get obsessive about things and, like, you know, going to gigs. I'm obsessive about going to gigs.
I heard you're a big Duran Duran fan.
I am the Duran Duran fan.
She's just me, no one else.
Oprah. I'm here in New York because I'm seeing Oprah tomorrow.
Are you so excited?
I can't think about it.
Are you going to give her a facial?
God, I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to.
Oh, my God.
This was super fun. I could talk to you for three more hours. Thank you so much for coming on Fat Mess.
Thank you so much. This is great.
Thank you for having me.
And now it's time to raise a wand.
Wait, before we raise a wand, let's have a listener raise a wand. Remember, guys, you can email us, raiseawand@fatmascara.com. Leave us a voice memo or a little M4, M3.
Keep it short.
Keep it short with your favorite product.
Your name, why you love it, maybe where you're from. I'd like to hear.
Here's an example.
Hi, my name is Mary Fran, and yes, both of those are my first name, and I'd like to raise a lawn to the IGK Good Behavior Spray. Now, it is designed for people with curly hair to keep their hair straight when they flat iron, and I have hair that is so straight it refuses to curl. I've gotten half a block from a blowout where I had big curls in the salon, and half a block later my hair was straight. So my hair doesn't hold a curl. And someone in the Fat Mascara Facebook group posted about this for straight hair needing to hold a curl, and they were right. Now, every time I heat style my hair, I use the IGK Good Behavior. I'm on my third can because it works both as a heat protectant and it is the only thing that has helped lock curls into my hair. I can now curl my hair and keep the curls slash waves for 3 days. Which is unheard of when I used to be lucky to get a couple of hours of curls out of my styling products. So yay, IGK Good Behavior Spray.
Thank you, Mary Fran. She's good.
Mary Fran in the house.
Don't take our job.
In
okay.
And the FM's dude.
I love it. Okay, my goat food's so joking.
We're eating pirate's booty, and it's like now we're eating too fast because we eat in between like
I know someone's
cuts.
Gonna definitely be pissed about this. Okay, can I talk about a gadget? We talk about how we don't always love gadgets, but I have a gadget. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Dermapore.
Dermapore?
Yeah. Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah. What does it do?
Okay. It's an ultrasonic spatula like they used to use in the esthetician's office, and they've brought it to consumer level, so it's really easy to use. You wet your face, turn the little buzzer on, and you just sort of glide it up and over your skin. And
I want to do it on my chin.
It is exactly where I use it. So I have these sebaceous filaments, which are those little they almost look like little white hairs, but what they are is just like sebum plugs.
I have them too, and I can't get rid of them.
But sometimes if you squeeze them, then you make a big red mark.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't get to the facialist to do it. This thing, I just like...
Where did you find out about this guy?
Because the Dermaflash ladies made the Dermapore.
Oh, yes, this is
their... It is so much fun. And then, okay, because I had to make it a little different than the esthetician one. You can flip it over and use it to infuse your serum. Guys, I'm going to be honest. I'm not infused with my serum. Sorry.
You're just using it as like
a manual exfoliator that is so gentle. Rosacea person like me, you can get out. Like, I've gotten a blackhead every now and then even. Like,
score.
It's just like little things come out and you just feel like, yeah.
Can you see it on the spatula?
Yes, of course. Of course.
So this is more satisfying than like a pore strip.
I think it is because it's also less sensitive. Like, I don't get red. Oh my God, my chin. Oh, I want to do it right now.
I know. And now I'm like, I need it.
It's like a gadget. I use because you see the problem, get out the gadget, use it. It's not like, oh, I have to do it regularly to keep – I mean, listen.
In 28 days, you might see
the sebum's coming back. It's not going to get rid of sebum forever, but, ooh, it works.
So it's funny. I personally have not tried the Dermapore yet, but I'm going to, in the same vein, I'm going to raise a wand to the Dermaflash.
Same. That's actually the same company.
Yes,
yeah.
we're not getting paid by this company. Like, I know that –
Not Spawn.
Yeah, this is not Spawn. It's just I've been using the Dermaflash lately, and now you're reminding me of the Dermaflash because you mentioned Dermapore. Dermaflash we've spoken about in previous episodes. It is like dermaplaning for at home. It has a little buzzer on. Okay, so it's like a stick.
It's a face shaver.
It's an electric face shaver, okay? But you don't need to be embarrassed about it because it looks just like a chic piece of like beauty equipment. It's like a wand and it's very ergonomic and it feels like rubbery and good.
I mean, it kind of looks like a vibrator.
It kind of does look like a vibrator.
But not embarrassing.
Do not put this even near your like Josh.
Oh, God, no.
Okay? Because it has, like, a little blade on it.
Oh, God, no.
And
you have to pull your skin taut. And,
yes.
Like, no, this does not belong on your vulva.
No, this is above the shoulders. So you pull your skin taut. You press the button on it. It comes with a blade, with, like, 4 or 5 blades. P.S., you really do need to use one blade and then dispose of it. Like, don't be cheap about
this.
And
the cleanser beforehand, because you can't have any, like... It's a drying cleanser because you don't want to have any oils on your face.
Yes.
Or face oil or go on.
I follow the directions. I use that cleanser. So I cleanse. Your skin's totally bare. No serums or anything. Then you take the Dermaflash. And it's not a shaver. And you run it across like where you have peach fuzz. I do it like over my lip. I do it even like by my brows very carefully.
Between the hairline and the edge of the brow.
You
it's
got
nice
it.
In there.
Exactly.
This is where I always have a question. Right in front of my ear. There's like a thing that isn't a sideburn, but it like is a peach fuzz sideburn.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Do not go too high because I used to do that as a teen in like early 20s.
Yes.
It looked like I was wearing a wig.
Or, yeah, you, hair grows in front of your ears,
yeah,
people.
I'm glad you brought that up. Don't get overzealous, because if you take too much hair off, you're just going to look freaky.
You want to get the vellus hair. If you start seeing head hairs falling off with your Dermaflash, you're in the wrong spot.
Exactly. Like, it should be, you know, mine is like almost like a pale orange, like the vellus hair.
They look like fluff.
Yeah, it does look like, it's like so bunny fluff. So once you're done with that, you put on the Dermaflash moisturizer. Do not use some like active thing. It's like...
Yeah, because this is manual exfoliation. Yeah. Your skin is a little bit sensitized afterwards.
And it comes with the Dermaflash moisturizer. And I have to tell you, I could set my watch to it. Every time I Dermaflash, and I only do it like every week or two, like I usually do it once a week, I think max, but... I push it.
I'm
like
sure they're like, you can do it 20 times a week.
Yeah.
No.
I get so many compliments on my skin.
Because it reflects light better.
Yes.
Yes.
Your skin is glowing. This is about $100. I think it's like $98.99. And it's like dry cleaning. It's like a dry clean garment. You have to buy you have to keep like the upkeep, like to buy the blades.
You just dry cleaned your face. I mean, kind of.
I feel like it really works. So, I don't know. Just don't hurt yourself, because if you push too hard, you will hurt yourself.
Or if you try to reuse those blades. I made that mistake already once.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a fun raise of wand.
That was
we were
good.
So in sync for your
last. Oh, my God.
You guys. Okay.
I also
raise a wand to Jess, because.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to miss her. You might hear her voice, because she did do some interviews before she left. So much luck to you. I cannot wait to find out her name and report back to our listeners.
Next time I talk to you guys, I'll be a mom. Like live, like, you know, not a pre-recorded one. Next intro thing or outro. All right, guys. Love you.
Love you.
Oh, my God. Love you, Jen.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Our show is produced by At Will Media.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at FatMascara. Go to FatMascara.com to get a link to our private Facebook group and hit us up.
If you have a beauty question, you can send it to us at info@FatMascara.com. We'd love if you send us a voice memo. We also want to hear your raise of wands. Send those to the same address, info@FatMascara.com.
And if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a review on iTunes. Just throw us some stars.